Hey, welcome back. Here we are, another week, another episode of the Semi-Seminarian. This week, we take a look at Jesus' final words uttered on the cross on the day of his crucifixion when he asked, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the answer, we find the depth of God's love for us and the value of the sacrifice he made for our redemption. I'll see you on the other side. Why is there so much pain in the world, so much divorce and abuse? Why do so many good people die young? Sometimes I just don't understand why. Why all of the pain? Why all of the heartache? Do you ever ask these questions? Here's another one. Why does God answer some prayers and not others? Why? Why do I feel alone sometimes? God says he's near, and a lot of times I feel him near, but sometimes he feels like he's far away. So many questions in life that just don't have clean answers. Do you ever feel like that? I wonder if you've ever felt like Jesus might have felt on that cross when he cried out, my God, why? Today, I would like us to meditate in this time together when he asked his heavenly Father, why? I'll pick up the story where I just read there, Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. This is what the Bible says. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all of the land. Now, when was this? From the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Right, from 6 to 6, from the sixth hour of the beginning of the day would be noon, right now, the time of daylight. The Bible says that in this time, darkness spread over all of the land. Now, why did that happen? I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you that we know that Jesus on that cross became sin. And when he became sin for us, his heavenly Father turned away from him. And when his Father withdrew his presence, the world became dark. Verse 46, some of the loneliest words in the whole of Scripture. The Bible says, about the ninth hour, 3 p.m., Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? A lot of times there are things that happen in life that just don't seem to have a good reason why. Why do good people die young? Why does God answer some prayers and not others? According at least to the way we think he should. Why do some people have the greatest desire in their life to get married, to spend their life sharing Christ with someone? They pray and they still go to bed alone at night. Why? Isn't there more to life than that? Jesus on the cross, cried out to his heavenly Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's interesting to me, as we examine the words of Jesus on the cross, here's what we'll notice as we look at his life as a whole. We know that from the moment Jesus was born, his spiritual enemy, Satan, had attacked Jesus, often through other people. Even when Jesus was a little baby, Herod sought to have him killed. Jesus in his hometown was known as a prophet without honor. Some guys one time had Jesus on the edge of a cliff and wanted to push him over. People called Jesus a heretic, called him a fanatic, said that he was demon-possessed, that he was a drunk, that he was a glutton, said that Jesus would hang out with the wrong kind of people. Jesus was not one of us. He was from the wrong side of the tracks. He was falsely accused. He was tortured, beaten, taken to the cross. And what is interesting to me is that when Jesus suffered all of that at the hands of man, he never once complained. In fact, the very first words that I can find in the whole of the four gospel accounts of him uttering anything that even resembles a complaint was when he became sin for us, the world became dark, the Father withdrew his presence and turned, and Jesus cried out, my God, why See, it's very easy for us to have faith when the sun is shining, but it's a completely another story to have real faith when darkness sets in the world around us. What's incredible to me about Jesus is that the only thing that he needed to endure that physical pain, or the emotional pain that he experienced, or the relational pain that he must have had, the only thing that he needed was the presence of the Father. That was it. The only time he complained was when the Father had withdrew his presence. And the same is true for us. You see, we only see part of the story. We only see our part. There's the Father's perspective in our story, which is much, much bigger. That's why I like the way that the Apostle Paul put it in his first letter to the Corinthian church, in the 13th chapter of that letter, verses 9 and 12. He showed us on this side of eternity that we only see part of the story. He says this. He says, "For we know now in part, and now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face." He said, now on this side of eternity, I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. See, we only see our part of the story. You think about Jesus dying on the cross, and you can imagine the different perspectives to that story. You could see the crowd who at one time cried out, "Crucify, crucify." The crowd must have been looking on at this event thinking, "We have done the right thing. We have ridden the world of another heretic." You think of his disciples' part. Their part of the story, they must be thinking, "What were we thinking? Well, wait a minute. We left our homes. We left our families. We gave up all of our possessions. We honored this guy. We followed him around. We did everything Jesus said, and now he's dying?" The story can't end this way for us. Did we do all of this for nothing? And then we look at Jesus' part of the story, and although I don't fully understand why he asked why, I know that he is fulfilling a prophecy, which is the very first verse of the 22nd Psalm when he cried out, my God, why?" And then you think of God's part of the story, where God's heart in this moment must be breaking. And he turned away with the most sacrificing, selfless act of love that we could ever imagine. As he loved you and he loved me so much that he allowed his son to suffer for you and for me in our place. Let's look for just a moment at the insight that God gives us in his part of the story. Sometimes through scripture, he gives it. Sometimes we won't see God's part, God's perspective, until eternity. But in this case, in this particular story, we get to see part of God's perspective, the Father's part of the story. Jesus said, my God, why?" We see two reasons why. Number one, the Father forsook Jesus because he had become sin. Why did God forsake him? Because Jesus had become sin for us. In Paul's second letter to the folks in Corinth, in the 5th chapter of that letter, he says this: "God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God." God hates sin. And wherever God finds sin, sin must be judged. Jesus became sin for us and died on the cross in our place. Now, why did God look on? Well, in Habakkuk, the first verse, the Old Testament prophet, the 13th verse, it says this: "God's eyes are too pure to look upon evil. He, God, cannot tolerate wrong." When Jesus became sin, hatred, murder, adultery, rape, jealousy, envy, lying, when Jesus became this, God's eyes were too pure to look upon sin. Therefore, he had to turn away. God is so holy and so full of love that from his perspective, when the world asks why, he says, I'll tell you why. It was done for you. Never forget the Father's perspective. The second thing that we can see as Jesus cried out, my God, why? Number two, we see that the Son was forsaken so that we may be forgiven. Jesus became sin and died with sin and was buried in a grave. And 3 days later, God raised him from death, clearly displaying that death and sin and hell and the grave had been defeated by the Son of the living God. This is exactly what Scripture says in Peter's first epistle. In the second chapter of that letter, Peter says this, speaking of Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, by his suffering, by his stripes, another version says, we have been healed. My God, why? God would say, I did this out of love for you. If you're asking why, if you're hurting and you don't understand, please never forget the Father's perspective. There's a story of a dad who was the love of his life was his wife and his 8-year-old son. And this 8-year-old boy idolized his father. His dad had a job that he loved. He operated a drawbridge, and he did that job with great integrity and accuracy. And he knew that his job was very important because many times a day he would raise the drawbridge up, throw a lever at just the right time so that ships could pass through, and at other times he would drop and lower the drawbridge so the train could pass over. And his communication had to be accurate and precise to make sure everything was done just right. And one day his 8-year-old son came with the father and said, hey, I just want to spend the day with you and watch what you do, Daddy. And the boy was having a blast, and the father was having a blast. And late in the day, as he was making probably his 13th or 14th successful transition, a train was coming, and he knew it was coming, and he looked for his son. And as hard as he looked, he couldn't find his son anywhere. Somehow his son had wandered off. He was afraid to throw that switch because there were just so many dangerous places on that bridge. Without knowing where his son was, he started to cry out, son, where are you? Where are you? And finally, the son cried out, Daddy, I'm right here. And the son had somehow wandered down around the huge gear shift that operated the bridge. The father realized that he had the number one most important decision that he'll ever have to make in his life. With moments to make his decision, he could either throw the switch, putting his son at a very, very serious danger, possibly being killed, or he could save his own son's life and let hundreds of passengers on the train fall to a certain death. In a split second, the father made the most sacrificial decision a father could ever make. He threw the switch. He watched the gears start to turn as his son was quickly caught in those gears and turned with panic and fear to look at his father as to say, why? Father couldn't bear to look, turned away. The son screamed out in pain, and the father's heart was breaking. Watching as the drawbridge successfully closed and that passenger train traveled by. And as the father was crying out in the darkest moment of his life, he watched the passengers on the train traveling by, completely oblivious to what the father had just done for them. Some of the men were sitting back reading the newspaper. Some of the ladies were talking to each other. Some of the passengers were just playing cards. And the father looked on, knowing that he had just given the life of his son, and these people were unaware and didn't care. Can you imagine for a moment what the father feels like when we live our lives without taking notice of the most sacrificial, loving gift that anyone could ever give? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Some may say in the middle of pain, God is nowhere. Others who draw close to him will say, no, 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 you don't understand. In the middle of our pain, God is now and here. And in the presence of a good God, it's all we really need. Please join me in prayer. This Good Friday, we join our voices to the words of Jesus on the cross and the cry of all who are abandoned, my God, why have you forsaken me? Before we race in quickly with the triumphant answer or the desire to set things right, we need to stand alongside this ancient cry of dereliction. So today we place ourselves with all those who cry out for food and justice, for work and healing, for hope and love, for faith and for meaning. We hear their pain and the pain of Jesus Christ. And because we know that in 2 days we will be back here celebrating and singing, do not let us, God, deny the suffering of Christ and of this world. Not in this moment. Oh God, we cry out to you. Do not forsake us. Amen. Well, there you have it. I hope that illustration was as illustrative to you as it was to me about God's love for us. Listen, if you like the Semi-Seminarian, I was wondering if you could take a second and do us a favor. However it is that you listen to podcasts, if you could subscribe to the podcast, that can help you know when new episodes come out. Also, if you could take the time to rate and review the podcast, that helps us get the word out to other folks. Anyway, I hope that you have a wonderful week. And until then, friend, be blessed and be a blessing.